Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
YumaDailyNews.com on News Talk 560 KBLU is brought to you by Half Off Yuma. Get our half off deals right now. Go to KBLUAM.com and click on Yuma Half Off for this week's savings.
This is the news in 60 seconds, YumaDailyNews.com. The deadline for baseball signups in San Luis is this Wednesday, September 8th. Get all the info you need if you're interested in America's greatest pastime at YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma's Most Wanted has just hit our website. Find out what suspects police want to see behind bars this week with the list of their crimes up on the website, YumaDailyNews.com. And the library in San Luis is hosting its 7th annual art exhibition between September 16th through October 16th in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month. Read all about it at YumaDailyNews.com. And finally, a man from Chandler has been facing charges of animal neglect and slaughtering animals without a license. Chandler police got a tip from a concerned citizen, and when officers went to the property near McQueen and Fry Roads, they found three weak and thin horses that were taken to the hospital for immediate treatment. If you have an idea for a local story, you can always send an email to newsroom at YumaDailyNews.com. For now, that's the news. I'm Andrew Caravella.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Be sure to listen Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasquet. It's everything you need to know about your home from buying and selling. Brought to you by PhD. When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PhD 344-9111.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with Mr. Russ Clark and Howard Blitz. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Sean.
So it's Labor Day today.
It is.
And
we're taking off.
Yeah. That's
so why we're not working, right?
Yeah. We get to just sit back and chat a little bit about what's going on in the world.
Wait, we should be we should be laboring today, I thought.
So I've been had some internal turmoil about how the United States should react with this conflict in Afghanistan, with the pulling out of Afghanistan. I know we've been talking about it quite a bit. Republicans, of course, have seized on the opportunity to drag Joe Biden through the mud. And, you know, I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I do want to stand back and look at it from a holistic point of view and say, okay, what is our policy on foreign affairs? What should it be? And are we leaning towards actually getting closer to what our nation's policy should be, or are we just reacting on emotion here when we're talking about the withdrawal from Afghanistan and working on some political leverage here? So I'm very interested to hear both your points of views.
I think they're going to be different.
They're absolutely going to be different. And
a little bit.
I've actually changed my point of view as I've researched this issue a bit and looked back into our founding fathers' opinions about our interference or our mingling in foreign affairs. And so I've changed a bit over the past few weeks as this has all occurred. So first, Russ, I want to hear your opinion on what we should have done better in Afghanistan 20 years ago when we invaded and occupied the country, and for the past 20 years, and then ultimately how we withdrew the troops from the country.
You know, I'm not a big fan of invading Afghanistan. I'm not. And I think something similar could have been done with military action like we've done in Libya or something in years past, where Reagan went in and actually just showed a show of force and knocked out a bunch of their abilities to create problems, and then we didn't hear from Gaddafi ever again after that. And I think we're foreign policy participants, and we should be participating in foreign policy because that's what we are. And we have to have a foreign policy. Everybody has to have a foreign policy, unless you're totally isolated like North Korea.
Sure. Well, no. Okay. There's one thing to have a foreign policy, and there's another. It's quite a different thing to be mingling constantly in foreign affairs. You could have a foreign policy to be an isolationist. That could be your policy.
Protecting our interests
okay.
is not necessarily mingling.
Okay.
Now, when we started trying to... When we overtake a country and we try to make it a better country in our eyes.
Democratize the world.
Right, that's mingling. I know that's more mingling. But if we're protecting our interests, even our founding fathers did that.
Okay.
You know, they would send ships over to Libya and say, stop taking our ships and holding them ransom and hostage. And they went in and pounded them. And our foreign fathers have done it, and we've done it ever since to protect our interests worldwide. But if we start taking over a country to force them into a democracy, that's more mingling, maybe, that I would have disagreed with 20 years ago. I probably, but that doesn't mean we don't go in and knock out the armies that are attacking us. I think we need to make sure that we stand strong just to make sure that stuff doesn't happen to us.
Okay. Mr. Blitz, what do you feel? How should have we reacted to the 9/11 attacks and the events that occurred in Afghanistan, or the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan over the past 20 years, and then ultimately the withdrawal?
Yeah. You know, I like the foreign policy that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson stated way back when.
I've got some of that
I'm going to paraphrase it, because I don't know the exact quote, but it's basically commerce and trade with everybody and political connections with none. I mean, that's not exactly the exact quote, but it's...
Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it, Sean, if you've got it there.
Yeah, absolutely. So he says, this is George Washington speaking, and it's on October 9th, 1795. And he says, "My ardent desire is, and my aim has been, to keep the United States free from political connections with every other country, to see them independent of all and under the influence of none. In a word, I want American character, that the powers of Europe may be convinced we act for ourselves and not for others. This, in my judgment, is the only way to be respected abroad and happy at home."
Yeah, I mean, again, commerce and trade with everyone, but political connections with none. I mean, that's a foreign policy, okay? And think about your own individual life. You want to be friends with everybody, if you can be, but you don't want to be dependent upon it or interconnected.
That's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, you don't interfere with what's going on in other countries. Okay, it's none of your business. Kind of like my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Malley, MYOB, mind your own business. That's a foreign policy. Now, if somebody's attacking you, yes, you should. You have a right to defend yourself. Absolutely.
What about us having allies? That
no,
not at all.
Because political connections.
Okay.
What you want is free trade between countries. That means government staying out of the trade business and let people from everywhere on the planet trade with one another, whether it's China, whether it's Germany, whether it's Denmark, it doesn't matter. Let them trade with one another, because that's how peace is generated. Think of the peace we have now with Vietnam. You know, think of the peace we now have with Germany, with Japan. Why? Because we've got free trade going on there. We get trading going on. When people are trading with one another, there's more likelihood of peace than there is war. When you start having connections with other countries, in other words, our government having a treaty with another government saying, we'll come to your aid if you're invaded.
Ever.
Ever.
Under any circumstances.
Yeah.
And we have those treaties.
I know. That's the problem. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't have any of those treaties. That's not what George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were talking about. That's why they created the Constitution the way they did. Because if we're going to go to war, if we're going to send troops to risk their lives, then it needs to be done. Number one, a bill has to be passed. A declaration of war has to be passed after it's been debated by a Congress, which represents the people of this country. And that's the only time we go to war. Well, Afghanistan never invaded us. They never attacked us. Iraq never attacked us. Nobody's attacked us. Okay?
Well, we were attacked on 9/11. There's no question.
Yeah, but we know who did it, and why didn't we go after them? Well, you know, we sat there and went and invaded. Who did we invade after 9/11?
Iraq.
Iraq. Right. Well, it turned out they weren't even involved in the whole operation. So, you know, I'm trying to figure this thing out.
It's very upsetting. It's a very complex, difficult issue, and that's why I love bringing it up, especially between you two. and I told you from the very beginning, I've been in turmoil about this because
I like the option, and
it's my human nature and reaction to react with a show of force.
Right.
And to display to the world this overwhelming show of force that when the United States is attacked, there's going to be a penalty to pay.
Yep.
But we've got to do it rationally, right? We've got to do it after we contemplate who is the real culprit and then pinpoint that culprit and then deliver a strike of force. Mm-hmm. And so Washington and Jefferson were both adamant believers that the best way to maintain peace is to always be ready for war.
Yeah, I mean, you have a right to defend yourself.
Absolutely.
No question about it.
To defend yourself.
To defend yourself.
And when you go in and you make that strike and you make that point, then you pull back and then you maintain that independence again. And some people call it isolationism. And that word has been used in a very derogatory sense. But it's not necessarily bad. We need to refocus and understand what it is, what it means. And just like you spoke about, Howard, about the free trade. Let the countries govern as they will. Let the people ultimately decide, see us as a beacon of freedom, and see whether or not they want to adopt that same type of political regimen for themselves. And if so, then they can rise up and do so. But if we just speak with our trade and with our example and with our influence about how we act at home rather than our military might and intermeddling with their political affairs, then we've actually demonstrated what Washington and Jefferson have been admonishing. We're coming up on a break here. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
This is pretty typical early September for us. We're sunny, dry, and temperatures are warm, 105 today. 108 tomorrow, 107 the high Wednesday.
Do you think it's okay to drive stoned? The truth is your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Summer heat is on the way. Time to check or replace your air conditioning system. This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. Yes, new systems are still 30 to 40% more efficient than a unit 10 years old. So call Quick Refrigeration, your trusted technician, keeping you cool since 1955. Also, experts in plumbing and tankless water heaters. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
Quick refrigeration. We get you cool, quick.
Be sure to listen for the border and traffic reports weekdays on this station, brought to you by RV World. They have a large selection of both new and used RVs. Exit Interstate 8 at Araby Road, then west on Gila Ridge, about a quarter mile. That's RV World.
Arizona Marketplace is Yuma's largest outdoor market. Open to the public November 4th. Accepting all vendor applications now. Our clients are requesting products and services like RV repair, antiques, handmade items, flowers, clothing, and more. Call now to reserve your reservations. 928-328-1088 or visit azmktholdings.com. Arizona Marketplace, 3351 South Avenue 4E.
Get your local news from a new local news source, YumaDailyNews.com. Now online at everyday at YumaDailyNews.com. We are the local news source focused on Greater Yuma and what's happening in your city, in your community, and your neighborhood. We're reporting on what is important in your universe. A new news source for all of Greater Yuma. Now online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at YumaDailyNews.com. Find us online at YumaDailyNews.com right now.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. We're talking.
Arguing.
We're discussing. diplomatically conversing.
We're
about
having civility, civil discussion.
Yeah, about foreign
this
affairs.
This is what we should be having all over the country.
No one's taken a swing yet, so that's
foreign policy here. So the question is, how should we react when we see that the peace on our own soil is destroyed by an attack of terrorists? Now, there hasn't been a country, an organized country or nation, that has attacked us since Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And when the attacks of 9/11 was not that of an organized nation. It was a terrorist organization. It was an organized terrorist organization
lived within a country.
Within a country, yes. It was harbored within a country, yes. And so now that country went, and they paid the price for some time. We've got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. Just a real quick correction, you guys. Asked about who did we invade after 9/11, and everybody jumped right in and said Iraq. That is absolutely incorrect. The first thing we did was went into Afghanistan. Then we had the whole buildup of looking for the weapons of mass destruction and that whole debacle before we went into Iraq.
Okay.
That's true. Afghanistan was the primary target, as I recall. Now, I'm not a scholar on this, and I don't have the timeline in front of me. But I think you would agree that Iraq and Afghanistan were pretty closely tied together, and the emotional reaction was against both of those countries. Now, we looked for justifications.
No, sorry, I cannot agree to that.
You don't have to agree. That's what we're all about, discussion.
You said, I'm sure you'll agree. And
okay.
I can't agree because we went after Afghanistan because of them harboring the people that we believed were behind the attack in 9/11. Iraq was a big sell to the American public over weapons of mass destruction and whether we should go after Saddam Hussein and the Iraq war. It was a completely... Now, you're a lot younger than me. You're 20 years... I don't know how old you are now, but 20 years ago, you were a lot younger than you are now, and I was there. I'm in my late 50s, so I have a little bit better recollection. And
well,
I'm not wanting to be argumentative.
I don't think we're actually disagreeing. I accept your correction that when you said I'm sure you would agree. A lot of people would agree that there was a lot of emotion behind those attacks, behind the invasion, and we wanted reprisal. We wanted, and we saw, and Iraq was labeled as an enemy. And we wanted, or at least the political agenda at the time, was to show that they had some involvement in those terrorist cells that ultimately organized to attack and orchestrate the attacks on 9/11. And it wasn't substantiated. It was never substantiated. So then we looked for a different reason. We said, well, you know, there's weapons of mass destruction, which were never then found. And then we said, well, he's creating humanitarian atrocities on his own people, and so we need to intervene there. And the narrative kept changing, but it was feeding in to the public's emotional reaction that they were bad, we were good, and whatever means necessary to eliminate the threat was okay. And ultimately, in retrospect, that's what we're trying to say is, ultimately, in retrospect, that invasion into Iraq was not correct foreign policy. And at least in my viewpoint, it was not the correct approach for what we should be doing in our foreign policy. And also the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan was not the correct approach for foreign policy. Thank you, sir, for your call. Absolutely. I appreciate it. I do want to be correct on the radio, but I feel like We are saying the same thing, but possibly a little bit different on the details.
I can agree that neither war nor any military action since World War II has been justified or a declared war. And 20 years in Afghanistan was ridiculous. A couple years to get in and get out and get Saddam Hussein and those responsible and then get out. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't feed the military-industrial complex.
Nah, that's true.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the call. Thank you very much.
And for the rest of those listeners out there, I hope you heard and gave some heed to that caller and his opinion, because that's exactly what we want, and that's exactly what is trying to be suppressed in the media today. Yeah. is clear and civil discourse.
Yeah.
And With people that don't necessarily agree on not only policy, but about the facts. But it's okay. What's most important to get the facts out there is that they're discussed. And that's what's happening, is there being a suppression of this. So, Howard, it looks like you're chomping at the bit over here.
I found Thomas Jefferson's quote.
Yeah, I want to give you a few moments to read that.
Okay, Thomas Jefferson's quote about foreign policy: peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. So, no NATO, no CETO, all those other things. So that's what it kind of boils down. But that means,
why is the UN so destructive to a good, healthy foreign policy of an independent nation?
I don't know, because of all the power, I guess, it has. I don't know how much power the UN does have.
Well, but it should. But okay.
I mean,
but,
it's okay.
But the concept of it, why is that concept so destructive to our independence as a sovereign nation? That's the question.
It erodes our independence because we start following UN policy instead of U.S. policy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And we start to look at, okay, what are all of these countries common grounds, and what are we going to do? We're going to go to and defend each other if any of the enemies or anybody outside the UN commits a certain violation. Now,
it's an entangling alliance.
It's an entangling alliance, and it takes away the sovereignty and the independence of our nation. We should be looking after Americans first. We elected our president to look after our affairs here in this country, and we respect and encourage other countries to do the same thing. Look after your own affairs. Mind your business and make your country prosperous in the way that you feel is the most efficient and correct way. And we'll do the same. And then when we have enemies occur, if we see that there's a need for alliances, we'll make alliances. But we won't be bound by alliances from years past that are going to entangle us in affairs that we don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to, whenever I think about stuff like this, I try to bring it down to individual levels, okay?
Yes.
Every single individual is their own sovereign entity, all right? And I interact with you on a trading basis, okay? If I want some of your services, I'll agree to pay you for those services if we can agree on the payment. Okay, so that's mutual agreement, voluntary exchange. But if you're get, I'm trying to figure out how it would relate to, say you and your wife, I see you and your wife are having a fight, a physical fight. Is it my obligation to interfere in that fight? I mean,
That's a great example.
I don't even know what the fight is about, number one. And I suspect if I tried to interject in that incident, I'd have two people attacking me. Okay,
that's where police can attack the most frequently is when they intervene in domestic affairs.
I think
and
that's
I'm not
kind
saying
of
it's
the
a wrong
of,
thing.
Isn't that kind of what we're talking about here? We see a country interfering with their citizens' lives being
citizens being brutal, or their neighbors,
or their neighbors are brutally, physically harming them, and that's why I think America was set up to begin with. Okay, we're going to set this place up. If you can get here, great. But we're not going to help you get here, and we're not going to help you when you do get here. You're going to be free to figure out your own life. That's the beauty
that's
of what America
concept.
Was all what America was all about.
Man,
and that's what
you're
happened.
Tempting me to switch some topics on the border here. I mean, maybe I will go there. But so I want to go back to your analogy with the conflict with the husband and wife. Yeah. Okay, so let's say that we make an alliance, Howard, and you, me, and Mr. Russ Clark over here.
Gosh darn it!
Yeah, we drag him into it, and we say, listen. We are intelligent. We understand politics. We understand how things ought to be run. And so we're going to enter into an alliance. And if anybody attacks any of us, then we will swiftly and without question come to the aid of the individual that's attacked. Now, you two walk along, all right? And I hate to even say this, I'm beating my wife, okay? Yeah. You are obligated to come to my defense?
No. It would be the other way around. If your wife was beating you, our alliance is
sure.
that we're going to help you.
Exactly.
Not necessarily.
Okay, thank you. That even feels better. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so my wife's beating me.
Now we're supposed to come
and I'm justified in getting that beating. She's justified in beating me.
But we don't even know what the issue's about.
And it's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not just for you to come in and intervene in that affair. Yeah. And that is putting it on a personal basis. And until you understand the basics of what foreign policy should be, it's impossible to determine the complexities of the question.
And that's why we should never enter into the alliance.
What if you get on your cell phone in a conference call and say, Russ and Howard, I'm losing this fight. Come help me.
Well, which I probably would. I might pound it out in a text.
I think that's why we have police.
Yeah, okay. We're coming up on a break here. We'll talk more about this. This is 560 AM KBLU Life, Death, and Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com. Com.
The best advertising in the world is the most memorable. That's the goal of all advertising, to make your business the name to remember when it comes to the goods and services you sell. This is why the best advertising on the planet has always been done with the long game in mind. Most are consistent advertising campaigns with multiple messages deployed over a 2 or 3 year period. This takes having a solid, steady plan and being consistent in your themes. Learn how to make your advertising into a long-term campaign at Yuma Advertising.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Get your local news from a new local news source, YumaDailyNews.com. Now online at everyday at YumaDailyNews.com. We are the local news source focused on Greater Yuma and what's happening in your city, in your community, and your neighborhood. We're reporting on what is important in your universe. A new news source for all of Greater Yuma. Now online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at YumaDailyNews.com. Find us online at YumaDailyNews.com right now.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Good. You know, we always have the best discussions off air.
That should be outlawed. We shouldn't be allowed to talk.
Or record them and just play them on
air. Yeah, right.
But so the discussion that we were having off air was, what was the purpose? What was the driving factor for the United Nations in the first place?
Right.
Yeah. And we all agreed that it was World War II, and it was that there were many strong nations that stood by and watched these other nations, Poland and France,
and just ignored it.
Yes, you know, fall to Germany so quickly, and Germany acquired so much power so quickly, and we ignored it. And had there been theoretically a United Nations, where we had this agreement to come and stop the aggressor in his tracks, as soon as he made the first violation, then the war would have been of much shorter duration, and perhaps maybe he would have been deterred from war altogether.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the concept.
Great concept and a great
however,
idea.
However, in practice,
like every bureaucracy, it grows into something it wasn't meant for.
Absolutely, it's basically just a federation. It's a federal, large worldwide government.
Yeah.
And we see that the bigger the federal government gets in the United States, the less our freedoms are. And that should be the biggest red flag that stops us right there, that says, hold on a second. We don't need more government, especially government that's dictated by countries outside of our borders.
Yep.
What we need is independence. We need a moral high ground. We need a religious people that are charitable, that voluntarily give humanitarian support. Our executive, our president, the Congress, they're not authorized to give away our tax dollars to foreign countries unless they specifically ask for permission, which they don't. And we should be charitable and are very efficient at doing so. And the United States has been more charitable than any other nation in history to other countries. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not the government that should be doing it. It's not the government that should bring us into these bigger organizations that require our action. We should maintain our independence, and that at each step of the way, we should learn from history, such as what happened in World War I, what happened in World War II, and we should then recall on that history and then act more swiftly when we see an aggressor acting inappropriately or destroying, taking over countries and destroying lives and causing war. We can then independently and swiftly act. But if we got to go and convene with the United Nations before we do anything, not only is there going to be a bureaucratic, you know, blockade on what's going on, but we've given up our freedoms, and I am adamantly opposed to that.
Well, you know, if you look, okay, at the beginning, there were 13 individual countries. And they right. decided to form a central government based upon individual liberty and freedom. Okay? So they wrote this constitution, and they're giving power to a central entity, okay, a central authority, keeping everything else for themselves. Because the states, they were individual countries. They had all the power. And if we could create, yes, a United Nations, a central government, based upon that philosophy, that might be a good thing. But here's the problem. And the problem was enunciated by Patrick Henry and a bunch of other guys, including George Mason and Edmund Randolph and a bunch of other ones. You're creating a centralized government. Now, how do you restrain this centralized government? Otherwise, it becomes all-empowering. And Patrick Henry said, I ain't going to this convention. I don't want this constitution, because all you're going to do is create another centralized force.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't go. He was adamantly opposed to this document. He really was. He finally came around once the Bill of Rights was instituted. Okay, because that had to be written. That was the promise. If those Bill of Rights weren't instituted, written down in the Constitution, we wouldn't have our country today. We wouldn't have what we got today. We'd have something else. Because these guys were so adamant about not having another centralized government. And that was the challenge. How do you create the centralized government and then chain it down? Well, that's kind of what you're doing when you're creating the United Nations. Okay, we got all these countries. Yeah, fine. We're going to give some power to a central authority. But how do you do that without that central authority becoming all-empowering again?
Right. And the main role of that central authority was the common defense of all of the United States. That was the role.
And that was the entangling alliance, if you will.
Yeah. So
between the 13 states.
So yes.
Or now, today, between the 50 of us.
So to defend us against foreign foes, right? And
domestic foes.
And, well, yes, but much less domestic, because on the state level, yeah. They were empowered
right.
to protect us against true. Domestic yeah. Abuses.
Yeah.
So here's my take on what foreign policy should be in three basic concepts. Just like we believe that freedom is based on three pillars, and that's the right to property, life, and liberty. Mm-hmm. And so our foreign policy should be national sovereignty with regard to military, national sovereignty with regard to economy, and political sovereignty. So we shouldn't have any political alliances, long-term alliances, that entangle us in any one of those three, militarily, economically, or politically. And if we go back to those three pillars, then the question as to whether or not we should entangle ourselves with any type of war or excursion outside the United States, then we can say, okay, is it in our best interest to maintain our sovereignty with these three pillars? Now, it may be that we go outside the United States and, yes, bomb another country or bomb some sort of organization that is either poised to cause injury on us, but almost always in a defensive respect, never taking the proactive approach. You can't be the aggressor. And that's the problem, is we become the aggressor too often. And when we've lost that defensive approach, then we've thrown off what originally it was situated to be. We've got a caller. You're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hi, it's Mike. How are you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
Hey, about the United Nations, I need to move away from my radio because I'm getting echoes. the UN was essentially formed in San Francisco initially out of the ashes of World War II. And that came, of course, 25 years after the ashes of World War I. And the point of the UN and the 50 delegates who came together in San Francisco was to avoid a third world war. That was their objective, not some kind of federal government. I really take issue with that overlay that's being given here.
Okay.
The point was it was for it to be an organization that would defuse conflict before it happened, and to take organized effort if it did happen. Hitler-type person.
Yes. So it was an organization to preserve peace. But the only way to preserve peace is to go in and have the military might to either disarm or deter an aggressor. So really, it's not a peace document. It's actually a document that authorizes force.
Yep. Peace through strength.
Well, I disagree with that.
Okay.
It's not just a matter of...
And that's all right.
I see where you're coming from. I mean, there are economic levers. There's trade levers. There are a whole variety of pressures one can use. And certainly the threat of force in the case of a Hitler, when he initially went in to take the Sudetenland, if the other folks had even put up... He would have stopped, and World War II in Europe would have been prevented. So even a slight show of force would have stopped him. At that point, is a whole other issue. Mm-hmm. But the point was to have something with the United States participating, which it did not participate in the League of Nations post-World War I, in which the great powers would exert some influence and be able to affect change. Mm-hmm. So, not to have a world government. That was not the point. Mm-hmm. So I just want to lay that out.
Okay, yep. So and I understand your point, but what is government? Government is the authorization of force. And usually it should be, at least in the minds of most Americans, it's the authorization of the show of force to protect freedoms and to preserve the rights of the individuals, those rights that we hold inalienable and divine. Now, if giving this organization, this United Nations, the authority to do that is not government, is not ceding authority to another group that is acting in a government position, I don't know what government is.
Well, you're talking about a coordinating group that has members that are sovereign states.
Sir, you just defined government. That's what our federal government is.
Well, I disagree that like government is like inherently evil. It's not inherently evil.
I haven't said that it was inherently evil.
Well, you're going down that path though.
Well, it's because government has historically taken all the power that it can, and when we give it a little power, then it tends to grow and grow until it becomes something unmanageable.
It's not inherently evil. It's dangerous. It's like fire. Fire is not evil, okay, but it's very dangerous, and you have to be careful of it.
Well, an association of sovereign states, an association of governments, which the United Nations is.
Uh-huh. Similar to the Association of the United States.
Well, not really.
Yeah.
No.
Very much so.
Not in the least. We're not talking about a confederation of states like the United States.
Well, isn't okay? So states is just another word for nation.
And I disagree with the point that like all alliances are bad. NATO, I hope, exists forever.
Okay. And that's where we disagree. There's a lot of people that agree with your opinion.
You lead to a red dawn in which everyone's gone and U.S. stands alone against an extremely hostile world.
Yeah.
Who wants to do us in.
So here's the thing. If we go with theories and theoretically, if we have this world organization and this world organization has... They're very good and benevolent, and they're always going to make the right decision. Then that's wonderful. Then we preserve the world from going into war again. But the problem is, we disagree on what is right and what is wrong. And
everyone has their own agendas.
So what my point of view is that we within the United States and as Americans maintain our independence. And when we see a cause that is justified in us intervening, then we take action. And we don't ask anybody else's permission to do so. We don't ask England or France or Germany or any other coalition of those countries to do so. We intervene. We act independently. And if our friends see, or other countries that are like-minded see, that our actions are justified, then they can contribute their resources to do the same. But when we start to co-align and make agreements that we will always act together as a coalition, United Nations sounds very much to me like United States, in that states are nations. Those words are interchangeably, are used interchangeably. The France is a state. England is a state. The United States is a state, and we have, we used to have at least, a sovereign, independent United States, and we've really kind of been taken over by the federal government. But when we unite together with United Nations, now we're forming, you call it a government, you call it a coalition, you call it a friendship, I don't care. What it is it's a giving up of our independence. And the question is, should we enter into these treaties such as the UN covenants, which would obligate our citizens to conform to their social behavior, their educational systems, the treatment of other governments? Such treaties and obligations amount to voluntary, piecemeal surrender of our political independence. I appreciate your call.
Okay, I think
we're going to have to move on here.
You're taking it too far, but I gather what you're saying.
Take care, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
See you, Mike.
So we'll be back. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
There's never been a better time to switch to Spectrum Mobile. You could save hundreds of dollars on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts. Try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator today, and in three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save by switching. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save. Spectrum Internet required. Savings may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save for details.
PhD. Professional Home Doctor.
It's a fact. Pipes burst, faucets leak, water heaters stop working. Hi, it's Mike Miller from PhD. But it's also a fact that you can turn to PhD to solve these plumbing and restoration problems for you. With PhD, you get skilled technicians, not people who learn while you pay. And since your home doesn't break on a schedule, you can call us anytime, day or night. Call PhD, the professional home doctors, 341-911. One.
Hey, are you Flightline Mitsubishi?
Yes, sir, we are.
I hear if I test drive a new Mitsubishi, I'll want it.
That's correct, sir.
Okay, here goes.
Ah, what are you doing?
Testing my new Mitsubishi with this driver.
No, no.
Test drive a new Mitsubishi. Not like that. Get behind the wheel of a new Mitsubishi at Flightline Mitsubishi today, and we're pretty sure you'll fall in love and be driving away in that new Mitsubishi very soon. Come visit them at 1350 East 32nd Street, Yuma, or online at flightlinemitsubishi.com. Flightline Mitsubishi. Drive your ambition.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. We're having a lively discussion here about foreign policy.
Entangling alliances.
What does foreign policy have to do with estate planning? And that's really the only area that I'm actually qualified to speak on legal terms here. I'm an estate planning attorney, but I'm also an American citizen, and I'm a student of history and not a scholar. I'm trying to learn what our founding fathers intended when our country was put together. I truly do believe, because when I read the Constitution, that it is a divine and inspired document, and that I need to understand it better, not only understand what it says, but understand what was going on when it was written. Because Howard, as you've pointed out so clearly, like Patrick Henry and many of the others, they were reticent to contribute to even discussions of a stronger centralized government that eventually resulted in the Constitution, because they had seen that it quickly results in the destruction of their liberties, which they had fought so hard to obtain.
Yeah.
And so my question then becomes, okay, if that's what the founding fathers saw, if that's what they lived through, most of us realize that these were the most brilliant minds in history, all coming together at one time, and many of us believe that have a faith-based interpretation of the Constitution, that God placed these men at this point in time at that location to create a government to stand as a beacon to freedom to the rest of the world, and for his purpose. And I want to understand what their reasonings were and what the Constitution means, so I can do my part as a patriot to bring us back to that point. And I understand that oftentimes my opinions change given certain circumstances. From an onset, I might say, yes, it was great to go in and invade Afghanistan, and actually we preserved somewhat of a peaceful state of affairs in Afghanistan, and that there wasn't mass slaughter in Afghanistan while there was occupation there. There was no terrorist attacks that were brought up through Afghanistan on the United States. So we enjoyed 20 years of peace from terrorism generated from that location on our soil. And so in that, it was a success. But was it our foreign policy to do that? Was it the correct thing to do, or was it allowing us to slide further and further away from what our country was originally established as an independent nation to do? And I think I need to go back to an analogy that really resonates with me. When I left for 2 years to go to Brazil as a missionary, when I left, anytime you go into a regular restaurant or a bowling alley, there was a smoking section and a non-smoking section, which was kind of counterintuitive because smoke doesn't recognize where the section starts and stops. But there was those sections, right? And so you'd go into a restaurant, and oftentimes you'd come out, and if you were a non-smoker, your clothes would smell like smoke, and that wasn't something that was typically appealing. So there started to become laws when I came back that startled me, because when I went into the bowling alleys and the restaurants, there was no smoking. And I thought, well, that's strange. Why are these people deciding not to smoke? And my friend's like, no, you've been gone for a couple of years. You can't smoke in a public restaurant and in a bowling alley. And I said, well, why not? And, well, there's a law against it. And I said, well, how can they make a law based on a legal activity that's being conducted in a private facility? That seems really counterintuitive to me. That seems to be an infringement on our rights under the Bill of Rights. And they said, well, what are you talking about? You like smelling like smoke? And I said, well, not particularly. But I want those property owners to maintain their rights, because soon enough, it's going to come full circle to me. And that's the same thing that's happening here, that when we go into these other countries and we mingle long-term with foreign affairs and how their governments are run, that's going to come full circle to us. And this world organization, whether you call it another government of the United Nations or whether you call it just a brotherhood that is going to determine what is right and what is wrong, it is a deliverance of our freedom. Mm-hmm. And although the intentions may be good, ultimately losing freedom is bad. We need to be authorized to act independently.
September 17th is coming up.
Yes, it's Constitutional Day. Constitution Day.
It's Constitution's birthday. So come down to the Freedom Library then.
What's going to happen at the Freedom Library?
We're going to have a little movie and we're going to talk about the Constitution.
Wonderful.
September 17th.
September 17th, Constitution Day. Go to the Freedom Library. We were out of time for today, but we had a good discussion. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.